Ripper Audio presents Changing Faces by Kimberla Lawson Roby. Read by Lynn Chavis, Audra Elise Polk, and Dolores King Williams.
Whitney. My name is Whitney, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't want to be, but that's what I've been since I was a child, and I can't seem to change it. Of course, I've tried changing my eating habits a great number of times, but none of my yo-yo dieting has ever worked, at least not for long. And believe me, when I say that I've tried the very best of them, one right after another. Jenny Craig, Ornish, The Zone, Fit for Life, Slim Fast, Herbalife, Atkins, and every other low-carb, no-carb, low-calorie weight reduction fad on the planet. I've even gone as far as starving myself completely, which was actually working until that night I passed out in the middle of aerobics class. Good God, I must have been entirely out of my mind. But insanity is not uncommon for women like me who are at least 100 pounds heavier than they should be. Women like me who spend every waking moment planning their next delicious meal and then promising themselves that they really will restart their diet this coming Monday. Sure, there are many overweight women who love themselves just the way they are and who walk around proudly with their heads held high, but most of us are not happy with the way we look. More importantly, we are not happy with the way we feel or the way some of us tend to be treated. Like the other day, when I was sitting at the mall in the food court section wolfing down a colossal meal from Taco Bell, and the couple sitting a few feet away looked over at me in disgust. They never said a word, but I knew immediately what they were thinking. They were wondering why I had the nerve to be eating anything at all, let alone two large burritos, a salad, and a large drink. I've always searched for acceptance from others, and I have my wonderfully loving mother to thank for it. From the time I was 8, she was already criticizing the way I looked, the way I walked, the way I did anything. Nothing was ever good enough. She demanded perfection, but I never gave it to her. Tina, my younger sister, on the other hand, did whatever it took to make Mother happy, and Mother has always loved her more because of it. Mother had even slipped and told me so a few years back during an argument we were having, but now she denies ever saying it. Still, I know what I heard, and it is the reason our relationship has been terribly strained ever since. I drove my SUV onto I-94 West and immediately came to a complete stop. Traffic was bumper to bumper, the same as always, and I couldn't help wondering why I did this every day. Obviously, I needed to work for a living, but why I drove all the way to downtown Chicago from Covington Park, the south suburb where I lived, didn't make much sense. Not when I could have easily taken the Metro train round trip. But to be frank, I just didn't feel comfortable doing it. The Metro was nice enough, but for some reason, I'd always had this weird phobia about traveling on anything relating to the rail system. Of course, no one understood it, but it was just who I was. I was barely a few miles from the exit that would take me to my favorite Krispy Kreme location. Each day I fought tooth and nail trying hard not to go there. And sometimes I actually didn't. Sometimes I drove past the exit and even felt good about it. But it was always a major struggle. My phone rang. It was my sister. "Hello," I said. "Where are you?" "In traffic, on my way to work. What's up with you?" "Why on earth do you keep doing that?" she said, ignoring my question. "Doing what, Tina?" "Driving all the way downtown." "I do it because this is a free country and because I want to." "Whatever." "Whatever is right. Now, did you want something in particular, or were you just calling to harass me?" "I'm calling for two reasons," she replied. "Well, actually, three. First, I wanted to tell you that I got promoted yesterday to purchasing manager."
"Well, good for you. I know you've been wanting that to happen."